From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Welcome once again to Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Continuing his series in the Book of Romans, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of a message called The Old Man Crucified and the Body of Sin Destroyed. The text is verses 6 and 7 of chapter 6, in which Paul continues his discussion of the believer's union with Christ. He wrote, "Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin." There's much confusion over the meaning of some of the terms Paul uses in this passage. Some argue that the old man is still an active principle in the believer's life. But as Dr. Cairns will show, the old man is what the believer was in Adam. Paul says that the old man has been put to death in Christ's crucifixion. His testimony is in Galatians 2 verse 20, where he said, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me." Dr. Cairns will be with us in just a few minutes. First, we invite your attention to this brief devotional thought from Morning and Evening, a collection from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon.
Our text for this morning is found in John chapter 17 and verse 15. "I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world." It is a sweet and blessed event which will occur to all believers in God's own time, the going home to be with Jesus. In a few more years, the Lord's soldiers who are now fighting the good fight of faith will have done with conflict and have entered into the joy of their Lord. But although Christ prays that his people may eventually be with him where he is, he does not ask that they may be taken at once away from this world to heaven. He wishes them to stay here. Yet how frequently does the wearied pilgrim put up the prayer, "Oh, that I had wings like a dove, or then would I fly away and be at rest." But Christ does not pray like that. He leaves us in his Father's hands, until, like shocks of corn fully ripe, we shall each be gathered into our Master's garner. Jesus does not plead for our instant removal by death. For to abide in the flesh is needful for others, if not profitable for ourselves. He asks that we may be kept from evil, but he never asks for us to be admitted to the inheritance in glory till we are of full age. Christians often want to die when they have any trouble. Ask them why, and they tell you, "Because we would be with the Lord." We fear it is not so much because they are longing to be with the Lord, as because they desire to get rid of their troubles. Else they would feel the same wish to die at other times when not under the pressure of trial. They want to go home, not so much for the Savior's company, as to be at rest. Now it is quite right to desire to depart if we can do it in the same spirit that Paul did, because to be with Christ is far better. But the wish to escape from trouble is a selfish one. Rather, let your care and wish be to glorify God by your life here as long as he pleases, even though it be in the midst of toil and conflict and suffering, and leave him to say when it is enough.
My heart can sing when I pause to remember. But until then, my heart will go
From time to time here on Let the Bible Speak, we've called attention to Q&A with Alan Cairns. These are video clips of Dr. Cairns giving biblical answers to a variety of questions. These include such issues as, what is the gospel? Why did Christ have to be virgin-born? How do we know the Bible is the Word of God? What's wrong with same-sex marriage? In all, Dr. Cairns responds to over 50 such concerns. As we've mentioned, all of these video clips have been available on the ltbsradio.com website. Now we're pleased to make available a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy of Q&A with Alan Cairns free of charge simply by requesting it. Just ask for the DVD of Q&A with Alan Cairns. You may email ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Finally, if you wish, you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day.
Of Scripture, we run into some terms that are far-reaching and terms that have been, I think, largely obscured in most of the interpretation that men have given them. The old man is one such term. The body of sin is another such term. We're going to look at those tonight. The first thing I want us to think of tonight is the old man identified. It says that our old man was crucified with Christ. Now, who or what is the old man? It's a very simple question. Unfortunately, the answers don't come quite so simply. And here I'm going to touch on something that I'm absolutely certain most of you can identify with immediately. Most of us have grown up with the idea that a believer is a man with two natures, the old nature and the new nature. You heard that? Are you awake out there? I think you've heard that. The old nature and the new nature. They are taken to correspond to the old man and the new man. And so here you've got this spiritual schizophrenic. He's got two natures. It has been described this way that it's like having, I think it was Mike Barrett told me the teacher taught him this, or a preacher taught him this, or he heard somebody say it, or maybe he made it up. It's like having two dogs in the house. One is nice and placid, kind, fetches your paper for you, makes your coffee and all the rest of it. And the other is a big, bad, savage brute. And it's according to which one you feed. Feed the new one, the good one, and the old one, the savage one. He'll get weak because he's not getting food, but feed him and he'll be all the more savage. We've grown up with that. These two natures in the Christian fighting it out for supremacy. Now, the difficulty here is that there are two principles at work in every believer. The Bible speaks of the flesh lusting against the spirit and the spirit against the flesh. So there are two principles at work. But it's my contention that you are just one as to your nature. It's further my contention, and this is where it gets to be very interesting, that when you talk about the old nature and the new nature, and you equate them with the old man and the new man, you make the old man to be that old nature, namely the flesh. And so that's how some people would come to Romans 6 and they would say the old man is the flesh. It's the old nature which still lives in the Christian. There are some people who take a different view, and they just will say, without going into such detail, without dividing your nature, they will say, well, the old man is the flesh. The old man is just all the corruption of your nature. Some look at 2 Corinthians 4:16, where Paul speaks of the outward man perishing and the inward man being renewed day by day. And they say the old man equates to the outward man and the new man equates to the inward man. But you know, there's something wrong with all those explanations. And I'll tell you the insurmountable difficulty that each of them encounters, and it's this. Paul tells us in our text that the old man was crucified. And there is no resurrection for him. The old man was, not is being, not we hope will be, but the old man was crucified with Christ. So to speak of the old man yet surviving in the Christian obviously runs contrary to what Paul is saying. To speak about the old man perishing at a later date again runs contrary to what Paul is saying. Now here we get to the important part. to instruct Christians that they should starve out the old man. To instruct Christians that it is their duty to crucify the old man. Is to tell them to do something that's utterly impossible. It's to tie up their whole Christian life looking to pursue something, to come to experience something that the Bible says is an absolute, utter, total impossibility. You've got Christians struggling. How can I crucify the old man? God says, in effect, what are you talking about? The old man was crucified long ago. Now, I know for many people that comes as something almost revolutionary. I am aware that there are a couple of texts that at first blush seem to contradict what I've just said. See, there are only two other places in the New Testament where Paul speaks about the old man. And in opposition to what I'm saying, these are usually trotted out. So let's face them head on. Ephesians 4, verse 22, we read, "Put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts." Colossians 3, verse 9, "Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds." Now, as I say, these are usually quoted to prove that the old man is not really dead. That whatever Paul meant in Romans 6, he didn't mean that the old man was literally put to death and will never be raised again. But that somehow the old man has merely been subdued and must be kept subdued. However, when you come to Romans 6, there's no way around it. Paul said the old man died. Now, it's not hard to understand that. There is a rule of interpretation in Scripture that you always interpret either the difficult by the simply stated, or the secondary by the primary. And this is the primary reference to the old man. This is the primary theological reference to the old man in the New Testament. And it says, he died. He was crucified. But when you look at these two texts in Ephesians and Colossians, you find that they don't in any way contradict what I have said in Romans 6. In fact, they strongly support it. Let's come to the Colossians 3 verse 9 for a start. It says, remember, "Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds." If I could give you a rougher literal rendering, it says, "Lie not one to another, having put off." The idea in the verb is having put off completely from yourselves the old man with his deeds. I don't want to bore you with technicalities, but both these texts show you the minuteness of biblical inspiration. And they will show you with what care the apostle chose even the tense of the verb in which he was expressing his thought. Because this verb, or this participle, having put off from yourselves, is so framed that it conveys for us an action that not only began in the past, but was completed in the past. And isn't that exactly what Paul's saying in Romans 6? The old man died. To change the wording slightly in Colossians 3, Paul said, once and for all, he was put away. Why? Because he was crucified. And therefore his argument is, your old man died. And that truth must control your conduct. So don't be liars one to another. It's interesting when you go to Colossians chapter 3 and just contrast in verse 8 what Paul says. He says, "But now ye also put off all these. That's an imperative. This is something you're told now to do. Put off anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communications out of your mouth, and do not lie one to another. Why? Because you have in the past, by faith in Jesus Christ, once and for all, put off the old man. The old man was crucified. Colossians 3 doesn't change what Paul says in Romans 6, and it supports it, as you would expect. We turn to Ephesians chapter 4, and we find that the very same thing holds true. Let's read the whole section, chapter 4, verse 20 to 24. You have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off, concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now, a first glance at that in the English translation would lead you to believe that there are three commands. Put off the former conversation, or concerning the former conversation, the old man. Put off the old man. Secondly, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And thirdly, put on the new man. You would think those were three distinct commands. But that is not so. Follow carefully. Paul says, if you know the truth as it is in Jesus. Now, what is the truth that is in Jesus? Paul spells it out carefully in the words that follow. And again, pay attention to how he uses the tenses of the verbs. This is the truth that you, and I will give you this twice so that I may interpolate a little and explain. First, it is that you utterly put off the old man and put on the new. Both actions begun and completed in the past. And that therefore you are now being renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now let me go back over that. It is that you have utterly, once and for all, put off the old man. And you have once and for all put on the new man. That's what he's saying. This is exactly what he is teaching already in Romans chapter 6. The old man was crucified. That's when the new man came into existence. And those are once and for all occurrences. Now the result is that you are being renewed. That's an ongoing experience in the spirit of your mind. So, what then is the old man? Well, the clue is that the old man no longer lives. He no longer exists in a believer. This is a one-time, irreversible act of the grace of God that denotes a fundamental change in the status of a person from death and condemnation to life and acceptance with God. And that's what points us in the right direction.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.